Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of our FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Jeff Fernetti, and we do these podcasts three times per week, and it's the NFL. As Thursday games, they get even more important to get our early week updates. On Monday, we talk about the weekend that just took place, the Monday Night Football game, and get you ready for the upcoming week. Wednesday, waiver wire pickups, who to go grab, who to help you out with injuries and bye weeks and short weeks, and then towards the end of the week for the Sunday games, we do some starts and some sits for you. So log on to footballdiehards.com and keep listening to these podcasts. We'll get you all caught up to date with what all of our experts have to say about the week that was. Let's go right now to our guest line and welcome in our Monday guest. He's, of course, the senior editor of footballdiehards.com, Bob Harris. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing today?
Very good, very good. You know, I was one of the few that, because of injuries, I had to start Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and the guy continues to hit home runs for me, so I'm doing all right. How are you?
The man they call the law firm. Four names is awesome. Hey, four straight games with a touchdown. You know, Sammy Morris comes back. I think he's still the guy. Sammy Morris is the guy, but who knows when Sammy Morris is going to come back? Lamont Jordan seems to be in no rush either, and hey, how many phone calls have you gotten today from NFL teams asking if you can be their starting quarterback? I've
got
about
five. Yeah, I'm stuck here in St. Louis, and we are smack dab in the middle of another quarterback controversy after just a terrible game. But at this point, no one's starting Mark Bolger anyway, but you are hoping for some balls to go to Torrey Holt and Donnie Avery, so that's been disappointing. Just one of the many quarterback controversies out there.
Oh, yes, yes. Detroit, we had the Dante Culpepper experiment. We touched on it last week, and it turned out about how you might have expected. Dante Culpepper was able to heave one or two down the field towards Calvin Johnson, and he may be able to heave three or four his way next week. So that's got to be very exciting for Calvin Johnson owners.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect from Dante, especially on the short week. But what other quarterback stories are intriguing to you as you watch either guys struggle, guys fight injuries, guys on the bench doing some things? What are some other matchups that you've found a little interesting?
The things that really jumped out to me watching yesterday were how good Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco look. I mean, they look seasoned veterans, while guys like Jake Delhomme and Sage Rosenfeld, granted, coming off the bench, were horrible. I mean, they just couldn't get anything done. Sage Rosenfeld was we're now finding out why Matt Schaub is so appealing to the Texans coaching staff. Sage Rosenfeld has a little bit of trouble identifying, maybe color blindness, I don't know. We're throwing a lot of balls to the other team. I think Jake Delhomme's performance was really surprising given the opponent and given the turmoil in their secondary. I think that was maybe the most surprising. But I still think you look at Joe, the rookie quarterback, Flacco, and Matt Ryan, and these guys are playing with poise. They're leading their teams effectively. They're not making the kind of mistakes that cost their teams games. I mean, it's been very impressive, and it's making me feel a lot better about naming Joe Flacco my favorite rookie quarterback in this year's magazines, that's for sure.
Yeah, watching the Flacco development has been really fun to watch, and talking to a couple of people out there on my radio program, the thing that they say with him is just a few weeks ago, something just seemed to click, whether it's a confidence thing, whether it's just a feeling that, like, hey, they're not taking this job away from me, whatever the analogy would be, he has found it there. And not to say that he's, top five quarterback, but a guy that can get it done for you if you need it.
Yeah, one of the things that I had heard was, the plan all along was to get him into the mix this year, maybe be starting him by this time this year.
Yeah.
And basically, because of the illness of Troy Smith and the injury to Kyle Boyle, they just had to accelerate that process, and boy, they have to be glad they did, because now they're a legitimate playoff contender, and with playing with a tough defense. Of course, the problem is, I thought Michael Fabiano at NFL.com wrote a great comment on his blog yesterday. Harbaugh is the new Shanahan. The running back situation there is going to be pretty tough to divine going forward. I mean, you're not going to know. You're not going to go. There's three backs who can be effective at any given time, and fantasy owners with any of them are going to have no idea which one it's going to be right up until it's the one steps up and gets it done.
What are some other storylines from Sunday that immediately stick out at you that you want to cover right off the bat?
I thought the Saints were interesting in that, they couldn't do a whole lot, but still Drew Brees got huge totals.
Yep.
Mark Polston finally showed up. And Jerry Mushaki again didn't. And I think the thing that really struck me, he hurt his ankle late in the game, got a little hiney chewing by Drew Brees at one point that was kind of interesting. And Ed had a sprained ankle, didn't play much, but that offense is more effective with Billy Miller. There's just, I mean, you can argue that Jeremy Shockey's a better player, but you can't argue that offense is better with him on the field right now. I think that's kind of interesting. Pro Football Talk had a report out this morning saying he's hated by teammates, he being Shockey, by many teammates. And so, you know, you look at that experiment and see if it's going to foul. But I was impressed that even when the Saints aren't playing well, Drew Brees can still get it done for your team.
Yeah, I read that too, and I think that goes back to something that we covered on a couple of weeks ago. It almost doesn't matter, and it really doesn't matter what the result of the game is, as long as the individual results are there. And while the Saints lose, and you say, "Oh man, they're a loser again," who really cares when he's putting up those kind of individual numbers?
Exactly, and that brings us to some other teams where you're looking for guys that maybe have been flying under the radar or are still available in your leagues. You know, you now have to look at the Chiefs' offense as a possible source of fantasy points.
Unbelievable.
You know, Tyler Thigpen playing quarterback, that's three games now. He's played reasonably well. It looks like, you know, maybe the Jags' rushing attack is getting on track for, you know, maybe that was just because they were playing Detroit, or maybe they actually got something together or can build some momentum off it. That's something to watch down the road. I think Adrian Peterson, you know, he doesn't seem to be the same guy he was last year, but the new Adrian Peterson is pretty darn good too. I mean, just seems like a tougher, more determined guy, not breaking off as many huge plays, but still racking up the big total. So I think there's plenty to be happy about and plenty to be disappointed in right now.
Yeah, I get some emails from people looking for a tight end, and I was looking around some of the numbers, and this year, more than any other year in recent memory that I can find, the tight end position as a whole has really, really been underwhelming. There's a lot of leagues that make you play tight ends, and Gates isn't dominating. Gonzalez, until the last couple of weeks, has just been a non-factor. Guys like Todd Heap and stuff, I mean, Heap finally had a good week point-wise, but I mean, he's been devastating. Vernon Davis has been a non-factor, unless you count throwing helmets and, you know, doing things like that. I mean, there's been bright spots week to week, but there hasn't been one, oh my God, look at that tight end this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the names that a lot of people are talking about right now, names like Owen Daniels, who didn't have a good game this week, but Bo Scaife in Tennessee, you know, Algie Crumpler was the clear-cut favorite there going into the season. Scaife has proven now through his fourth offensive coordinator, and I don't know how many quarterbacks there. I think he played with McNair also. Dustin Keller is showing signs of life for the Jets. Greg Olsen, on again, off again for the Bears. But, yeah, there's some new the rank there, as there is at every position this time of the year. But the tight end has been interesting. It's a good reminder to find out the old standbys aren't always the old standbys.
Yeah, and conversely, with results on the field, you know, not necessarily always meaning it can go the other way. There can be a winning team like Tennessee that, you know, Lendell White gets to the end zone, but it's not like Kerry Collins would be winning you a ton of games. There's game managers that win, and then there's, you know, people that lose that still put up huge numbers like Drew Brees.
The game manager, Kerry Collins, has been promoted to playmaker for at least a week.
You know,
a week, and you know what? And I think, you know, again, that is the hallmark of a really good team. You know, from an NFL perspective, is when you take away their strengths, they find another way to beat you, and that's what the Titans did yesterday. And you know, Kerry Collins, for whatever the perception is of him, has been to a Super Bowl, has thrown for 35,000 yards, has been around this league a long time for a reason, and hopefully Vince Young is learning something from him.
Another example why you got to look at footballdiehards.com is because of all the premium content that you have up, and on the homepage people can get updates from around the country. And one that people were watching big time last night was that Pittsburgh and the Indianapolis Colts game. Colts really needed to rebound. Peyton Manning needed to have a Peyton Manning-like game, but that's always tough to do on the road. Pittsburgh had tons of swirling news about running back and Roethlisberger especially. You know, interesting to see what people did with their rosters, if they put Ben back in there or not, with all the questions surrounding him going into this week.
Yeah, you have to think a lot of people were laying off the Colts, and not without good reason, but it just, you know, goes to show at some point, you know, you may get some value out of Manning yet. There's still some hope. He can throw three against the Steelers. I'm guessing he can throw three against just about anyone. And, I think all along, I mean, we all have a hard time letting go of the things that we, you know, that we cherished in the preseason. But, you know, I think everyone thought with the Colts at some point it was all going to come together. Well, it hasn't all come together, guys. Marvin Harrison still ain't quite there. And the rushing attack, there's still a question up there. But Peyton Manning certainly has the weapons to get it done on any given Sunday.
Let me ask you another thing that I was looking at. I was looking at the Bears and that real interesting division. You got a bunch of teams. I mean, outside the Lions, the other three teams just right there, all within a game of each other, and you know, now all starting to play each other a lot more. That team had such balance and really good offense rolling with Orton and especially, you know, Forte, the running back. With Grossman in there, how do you think that they'll end up looking the next couple of weeks as far as the other players that the quarterback would you know, affect? Will Forte run more? Will the receivers get the football like they had been getting?
You know, watching that game yesterday, I watched it fairly closely. And you know, I mean, we saw both the good Rex and bad Rex in that game. And, I mean, I think that is the problem. There is such a thing as the good Rex and the bad Rex, and we talk about it because it's just – it's going to be impossible to count on, you know, the Bears' passing attack for anything. Now, that it could be good news for Forte, who I thought played pretty well against a tough defense.
No, I did
and
too.
He is a nice, versatile weapon. I mean, he caught a touchdown. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. He's a hard runner, a punishing guy. So, I'm pretty sure he's, you know, I'd be pretty comfortable rolling with him against pretty much anybody after watching him, you know, take on the Titans in a pretty good manner yesterday. So, I feel confident there, but I wouldn't count out Orton even, you know, as soon as this week. I mean, they're playing the Packers.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily a mobile guy to begin with. If they could tape that thing up enough and, you know, so and he can feel comfortable taking a few steps back, I think they'll get him back on the field pretty quickly.
Another situation that I've been watching, and I know a lot of other people have been disappointed with, is what's going on in Jacksonville. Garrard's been disappointing for a guy that you could have gotten pretty late that it should have been pretty good. The running tandem has been really a bust, and that defense, for those that wanted that defense to start, hasn't done a whole lot. This week, obviously, they have the walkover game, but do you think that it helps them get back on the right track, or do you think that those still would be a lot of tough starts in there?
You know, success tends to breed success. We've seen it how many times, but you know, this is the Lions, and I don't know how much success against the Lions actually translates into that theory. I did see some positives, you know, watching some of that game. But I guess my big concern is when the coach starts going after and moving locker assignments, is what happened in Jacksonville last week. You know, the coach seems to think he's lost the locker room to some degree and has to take control of it, suspends his best defensive player, you know, for what in his view is some excessive celebrating against the Bengals in a bad situation. It just, the whole situation, you know, is not especially comforting for fantasy owners. You'd like to think, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew is a weekly start, you know, if not, certainly not as your RB1, but, you know, down below
yeah.
that. So, you know, I don't see that changing too much, but they've had injury problems. If we see what happens at receiver, Matt Jones' suspension should be announced at some point here this week. Whether his appeal was granted or not, I suspect he'll miss three games. They got Mike Walker coming back. There was a Jerry Porter sighting this week. There was
holy cow.
Even Troy Williamson showed up against Detroit. So, you know, we've at least seen the signs of life now, if only they can sustain them.
Some unknown players, at least to this fantasy season. Bob,
that's
great
fact.
Stuff as always. And I'll tell you, for all those, I mean, even the people that work with the company, like myself, I mean, I look at Football Diehards because of all the accumulation of information. It saves you to go to all, you know, 9 different websites. You can get it all one right here. And then here are experts on these podcasts. Bob, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
That's Bob Harris, our senior editor. I'm Jeff Fernetti. We will catch you Wednesday, a midweek update here on your fantasy football source. It's footballdiehards.com. Keep logging in. Keep reading that information. And keep sending questions to Vern, VERN, at footballdiehards.com. We'll see you midweek, everybody.